Good morning. I'm Kathleen Stevenson, and I'm speaking with journalist Ann Crittenden, author of The Price of Motherhood, a widely acclaimed bestseller, which was listed by the Chicago Tribune as one of the top 10 feminist literary works since the publication of Betty Friedan's The Feminine Mystique in 1964. The book argues that although women have been liberated, mothers have not. The subtitle is Why the Most Important Job in the World is Still the Least Valued. Ann Crittenden, thanks for coming into KABU today.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Also with us is Andrea Peluso. She is Executive Director of Family Forward Oregon. Andrea, thanks for being here, too.
Thank you for having us.
Now, Ann Crittenden is speaking tonight at 7 in the Elliott Chapel at the First Unitarian Church in Portland at a fundraiser for Family Forward Oregon. And Family Forward Oregon is a local nonprofit working to build an economy that works for families. Her talk will be followed by a panel discussion with Oregon policymakers and business leaders. You can go to www.familyforwardoregon.org for costs and tickets. I believe you can buy tickets at the door.
Yes, you can buy tickets at the door and online.
And later we'll be telling you how you can get a pair of tickets and support KABU at the same time. It's been 10 years since you wrote The Price of Motherhood. Why is the most important job in the world still the least valued?
Well, I think it's just come out in a 10th anniversary edition, I should say, with a new preface in paperback. But I think that it was brought out again because very little has changed. And if anything, seems to me we're a little more materialistic than we were even 10 years ago. And we put value on money, we put value on high salaries, but we don't seem to put value on the unpaid labor of raising our kids.
Now, you have said, or it's been explained, that motherhood is now a leading predictor of poverty. Can you explain that?
Sure. When I wrote the book, I said that motherhood is the single biggest risk factor for poverty in old age because the vast majority of women, when they have children, pull back from their paid work. They either go home and raise the child for a few years or many years, or they don't go for that job that's 60 hours a week, or they turn down promotions that require travel. They make a lot of decisions that end up costing a ton of money. And that's what I mean about I call it the mommy tax.
And the
mommy tax adds up to a lot of loss of income and a lot more risk of poverty. Another big reason is that you don't get any credits from Social Security when you raise children. If you're raising your own kids, you get a zero for every year you spend raising your children. Nannies get credits, but mothers don't, or fathers if they're hands-on stay-at-home dads. So that means in old age, you have a lower pension. You may not have pensions from your work, and you don't have as much Social Security.
When you wrote the book 10 years ago, what was your motivating factor at that time?
Oh, I just asked that. It was very personal because I had been a reporter at the New York Times, and I quit my job after a maternity leave because it was no flexibility in those days. I would have had to travel a lot and work really long hours. And I was a much wanted baby, so I really wanted to spend time with the baby. So I quit my job, and I had no idea what a shocking thing that became. It was like, holy cow, I'd entered another world where I said in the book, I shed prestige like a skin sheds its snake, you know. And I really felt this was crazy because it was the most important job, clearly, I had ever done. It was the hardest, most challenging. I read all the literature on how important it is. The early years are critical. So here I am thinking I'm doing really the most important thing I've ever done. And I was out there in a world that thought this was like nothing. I went to a cocktail party 1 year. It was about 2 years after my son was born. And I like to say going to a Washington cocktail party and bragging about your skills at child rearing is like bragging about your skills at group sex and at Kansas City church social. So anyway, this guy comes up to me and he says, "Hey, didn't you used to be Ann Crittenden?"
Oh, no.
So at that point, I said, I got to write about this. It's just crazy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And so now your child is how old?
28.
Wow.
Yeah. He's on his own. He's really great. What can I say?
Well, good.
Hope he remembers Mother's Day's coming.
So what do you think are the reasons that there has not been progress in the status of mothers since you wrote The Price of Motherhood 10 years ago?
Well, I think there are a lot of reasons. I do think our culture has moved more toward, there's been a turn toward more macho violence in a way, I think. I see 9/11 came 6 months after the book came out. And I really think all of that, the rise of war, the fear of terrorism, we're right in the middle of it again this week. I just think it did create a more violent, more macho culture in general. I think that's accompanied by the video games and all the television and so forth. So that's not a climate. War is never a climate where women have prestige and status. It really isn't. Mm-hmm. And also, I think the economic downturn that hit in 2008 and 9 made in this whole rise of saying, well, we just can't afford anything. A lot of what helps people who care for other people, a lot of what helps dependents and people who care for dependents, of which I've calculated probably 40, if not 50% of the country, of the society, is a lot of the things needed to give them the resources they need has to come from the public sector. And now we're in this climate where the whole cry is, oh, we don't have any money. We can't afford to be nice to anybody. We can't afford to put a bottom underneath people who may need a helping hand. Mm-hmm. So that climate has made it much harder, I think.
And a little bit about some history before we take a break. How did this whole notion develop that the housewife or the person raising children was unproductive?
Well, I'm so glad you asked, because to me that was one of the most fun pieces of research I did for the book. And I did a lot of research on this thing. Before the money economy, that is up to the early 19th century, the housewife or the wife was respected. She was considered an asset. We were an agrarian economy, and the wives worked side by side with the husbands. Both contributed to the household. Women were subordinate to men, but their economic value and their work was valued. And it was with the money economy where the men started going out earning money, bringing money home, and where things more and more had to be bought, that we had a denigration of the work at home, of raising the next generation and all of that, all the various domestic jobs that were so critical. And you can really track that in the way we started measuring GDP and GNP in those days. And little by little, I trace that, how the state started excluding from the national accounting what was going on that was unpaid, even though it was critical. Mm-hmm. It still is.
Mm-hmm. I'm speaking with Anne Crittenden. She is the author of The Price of Motherhood, which is a widely acclaimed bestseller just re-released in the 10th anniversary edition. And also here with us, we'll be talking more with Andrea Peluso, Executive Director of Family Forward Oregon. Right now, we want to get back to our conversation with Anne Crittenden and Andrea Peluso, who we want to bring into this conversation. She is Executive Director of Family Forward Oregon. Andrea, tell us a little bit about what your group does.
Yeah, I'll give you a little bit of history. We started this nonprofit a couple of years ago because some local mothers had gotten involved in a grassroots campaign to pass a paid family leave bill in the Oregon legislature in 2007 and 2009. Unfortunately, it didn't pass either year, but we're still working on it. And that would have created a program that would help families who currently have access to unpaid job-protected leave through the Oregon Family Leave Act to have some of that time be paid, because we know that people need time off when they have a baby or they have a sick family member that they need to take care of, and that it's really challenging to go for periods of time without income when you need that time off. So we're working on that at the state level. So we got started with this as a sort of grassroots activist an initiative, and out of that realized that there really wasn't an organization in Oregon doing this kind of work and family policy work. There are organizations in other states that do it. There are organizations at the national level that work on this, but Oregon really had this gap to fill, and so we created Family Forward Oregon to fill that gap. And since then, we've gotten really involved in doing education with legislators and talking to them about these work and family issues, about the fact that motherhood is a leading predictor of poverty and old age, and the things that would make it possible for us to alleviate that connection, you know, having things like paid family leave, paid maternity leaves and paternity leaves, having paid sick days. You know, it's there's a growing national campaign happening around paid sick days and the fact that in Oregon, 40% of private sector workers don't have any paid sick days through their job. That doesn't mean that they have vacation or PTO or anything else. They actually have zero time off that's paid from their jobs. This became a huge national issue during the swine flu epidemic recently when the CDC was saying, stay home from work if you're sick. Mm-hmm. And we know that 40% of workers in our state who work in the private sector cannot stay home if they're sick. They'll lose income and they may even lose their jobs. And this, I think, is a growing movement as a new labor standard that just like a 40-hour work week and minimum wage and the fact that we don't have child labor, that we also need access to paid sick days. So that's something that we are working to do in Oregon. You know, that those access to time off, access to part-time work options, access to flexibility at work so you can take care of your kids and stay in your job, access to affordable child care. I mean, we were shocked to learn that in Oregon, infant child care, full-time infant child care, costs 60% more than tuition at the University of Oregon. So it costs more to have your kids in infant child care in order to keep your job than it does to send them to college. And most people don't go into having children thinking that they're going to be paying more than college tuition in order to keep working. So we've been working on a variety of those kinds of issues locally and with our partners at the national level.
Mm-hmm. And had you been familiar with Anne's book, The Price of Motherhood?
Yes, absolutely. It was critical in us getting our work started, actually. Uh-huh. You know, the folks who founded this nonprofit and have really been engaged in this work, we all had personal stories. You know, I grew up at a time where I really believed that as a woman, I was going to be able to have a family and have a job and choose to do both of those things. And then I had kids, and I realized that I really don't have a lot of choices with regards to sort of how I get to operate my life day to day. That, you know, there's this kind of popular myth that Anne addresses in her book around women having a choice to work or a choice to stay home. And, you know, the reality for me was there often isn't that choice. You know, you may want to choose to work part-time but not have that option, or choose not to work but can't afford not to, or it means you'll go without health insurance if you do. Or you may be home with kids and wanting to work, but can't afford the childcare that it would take in order to do that. So without these public structures in place, there really aren't choices for the majority of women and men who would like to be more engaged in work and at home.
Andrea, tell us about this event that's happening tonight, this benefit for Family Forward Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're hosting this event tonight. It starts at 7 o'clock. We'll be featuring Anne Crittenden, who's the author of The Price of Motherhood. And then afterwards, we'll have a panel of local policymakers. We have Representative Ben Cannon from Portland, Representative Michael Dembro from Portland, Kim Graham Nye, who is the co-owner of G Diapers, a local business that has very family-friendly policies, Amelia Pismyth, who is the director of the Breastfeeding Coalition of Oregon. And she'll be talking about some successful advocacy that they've done around milk expression laws, both locally and nationally. And then Dr. Mary King, who is a local labor economist.
And there's a little extra part that I know Anne wants us to mention.
Yes. So after all of that, we do have, for some of our ticket holders, we do have a private reception with the panelist and with Anne that includes some local wines and cheeses.
And it's not all, it's partly fun too.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Right. And with that pair of tickets that is offered as a thank you gift, I believe you get that extra reception. So
yes,
it's a way to celebrate as well as learn and support this worthwhile activity. I want to let people know again, we are here with Andrea Peluso, Executive Director of Family Forward Oregon, and Anne Crittenden, author of The Price of Motherhood, Why the Most Important Job in the World is Still the Least Valued. And you wrote about paid leave. What do you feel about the changes in that area? Do you think that it's been good, bad, indifferent? What's happened
well,
in that area?
It is one area there's been some progress since I wrote the book. And it was one of the things I thought would happen soon. A big reason being that we are the only developed country on the face of the earth that doesn't have it. We're virtually the only country in the whole world that doesn't have paid sick leave as a right, a worker's right. Chinese have paid sick leaves, and we don't. So we are totally an outrider on these basic rights, I think, for people who work. So I thought this would happen. And what has happened is that it was passed in California, and it was passed in New Jersey, and it was passed in Washington State, although the Washington State plan has not gone into effect yet because of cost. What the cost is really all a little tax on employees of the entire state, and it's the cost of about a package of gum a month is what it costs employees to have. And it's all partial paid. It means you will have a stipend, but not up to your full salary unless you're at the very low end of the wage structure. So that's what it is, and it's so important because for many people, it means they don't have to quit their job to be with their child. And we know when you quit your job, you may have to go on welfare, you may have to be hungry. I mean, it is a job protection measure for millions and millions of people, and it means families don't hit the wall when they have a baby.
I'm speaking with Ann Crittenden. You're listening to her talking about the price of motherhood, and with Andrea Peluso of Family Forward Oregon. And we wanted in these last minutes of this interview to particularly talk about the importance of this issue as a progressive issue. Can you start talking about that, Ann, why you think this should be viewed as a progressive issue?
Well, I think what I've been trying to say for several years now is that family value, what we're talking about is real family values, because we're talking about putting real economic value on the work it takes to raise children, which is the most important economic job that we have. It's the future resources. Children and citizens are the most important natural resources any country has. And we want to put some value on it. So we want to take back that issue. It's not a conservative issue. They talk about it, but it's lip service. They talk the talk and don't walk the walk. They haven't supported, conservative politicians have never supported any of the policies we've been talking about that would make lives easier and put resources in the hands of the people doing our biggest job. So it's our progressive issue, I think.
And Andrea, what do you – I know you mentioned that your group sometimes has to justify itself as a progressive organization because you have the word family in your in your name, Family Forward Oregon.
Right. It's interesting that family is such a loaded term these days. And I know there are a lot of folks who don't necessarily feel like they're represented by it, which is unfortunate because we're all in a family in one form or another. And I think that has a lot to do with the dialogue that we've had over the last couple of decades around what family values means, exactly what Anne has been saying, and that's generally been a term that's really been co-opted to talk about various stances on reproductive rights or lack thereof. And it's unfortunate. And we deal with that as an organization called Family Forward Oregon, where people assume that we must have some kind of hidden agenda related to that. And we really are about valuing families. And we feel very strongly that those are not partisan. These should not be partisan issues, right? Like across the board, people should recognize that making these investments in families is critical to the families. It's critical to our state. It's critical to our country.
Let me just add one little tidbit on that. If you have, because we don't have paid family leave, American mothers go back to work after childbirth very quickly, faster than in any other country, because in other countries, they have the right to stay home with some stipend. That means more infants under one or under two are in daycare in America than in other countries. Children spend more time with their mothers than they do in other countries than they do in this country. So why is that family values? I think that's the opposite of family value. So let's put our money where our mouth is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Andrea, as a young mother, mm-hmm. What do you see as the future of this issue? Is it something that will include people who are not sort of experiencing these issues firsthand? How do you get other people to sign on to this, to become involved in this?
Yeah, I hope so. I hope that this is something that everyone can relate to, that we're all experiencing these kinds of time crunches and lack of support for the work that we do caring for family members, whether that's young kids or aging family members or sick family members, that generally we have to recognize that this is really economically critical work that's very important. And recognize as a community that it's something we support, whether we're doing it actively right now or not. We all know that at some point we're going to give care or need care ourselves, and that these things are really important to being able to do that. I think definitely it's a time for folks to stand up and to say, we have a popular dialogue that paints this very much like your individual family is your problem. Fix it on your own. And we need to change that. We need to say, you know, we want to fight for all families, and doing that is going to be changes in policy, changes in workplace policy, changes in our public policy at the state and federal level. And to get those changes, we got to speak up.
Thank you, Andrea Peluso, Executive Director of Family Forward Oregon. Also, Ann Crittenden, author of The Price of Motherhood, now out in its 10th anniversary edition. Thank you so much for being with us today. And thanks to those who have called. Remember, you can get an autographed copy of the book, or maybe those tickets are still available to this event tonight with Ann Crittenden at the First Unitarian Church at 7 p.m. This is Kathleen Stevenson for KBOO. Stay tuned for Black Book Talk.